Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Paul Angelonis. I'm joined by Philippe Siragi here in the studio. And today we're going to be talking about modern misapplications of the law. As we talk about the law this week, and as we just dive deeper into it a little bit and thinking about how it can be misapplied, what are your thoughts to start out as we talk about the law and how we apply it today in our modern lives?
Right. The first, I think I want to give credit to it. You know, like we were talking about titles of the shows. I think I like the title of the week, like, you know, making sense of the law. I think it's one thing we can say a little bit today. And I know it was addressed by Pastor Roger and Lizzie Robbins yesterday. So I enjoyed what they said. And I think if you want to dig deeper into the topic, I think you have to go back to what they said yesterday. It was really, really good. There's a couple things we have to understand is I think we need to... Not to make the mistake. Okay, let me rewind. What am I saying? We're going to say two things today. Number one is there's two kinds of misapplications of the law. Number one is you can be a legalist, which is you take the law and you apply it in every place without any discernment and understanding the place of grace. Or the other side is you don't. You are so disconnected with the law that you are living in the place of your life where law doesn't mean anything to you, and like you're so much into grace that your life becomes licentious. So we're going to be addressing those two things here, and as they are modern in the sense that they are still here today, but they've been around for centuries anyway. So there's nothing new under the sun when it comes down to misappropriating or misapplying the word of God. And I think this is what we want to talk about today, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it starts with looking at the law and looking at what the law is, and the verse that we've been talking about before we came on the air was in Romans 7, that the law is holy. Romans 7, verse 12, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. And then the next verse is really interesting too. Has then what is good or holy or just become death to me? And have we turned the law, which is holy, into something that is, causing us or leading us into death? Is it like, what is my viewpoint of the law? How do I use it in my daily life? As that's what we're talking about, and recognizing what does it mean for the law to be holy, like to, and how much is that holiness connected and linked with the one who gave the law? You know, God gave the law, and it is holy because it is sourced in Him and is coming from Him. And how much are we relating to Him in His holiness, and as it applies to these words that He's given or these commandments that He's given to us?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting when you think about it that legalism is so interesting in the sense that it takes the law and just so it is a misapplication. So I kind of divert a little bit with what I wanted to say, but I want to make a point that maybe we can go back to later, is that legalism takes beautiful words in the Bible and makes them a hard word. And I'm thinking about holiness, repentance, obedience, confession. And it's interesting how the legalistic crowd, which we're part of many times when we don't understand the grace of God, so I'm not saying the other guys over here, we're including ourselves. If I don't understand the role of the law, or if I don't understand what the law is, and if I don't understand there's nothing wrong with it, then I will be licentious. But if I think that if I don't understand the grace of God, then I'm going to steal those words and give them a legalistic meaning, and I'm going to add metrics to those words. Like, okay, like I'm looking at you, are you repentant? I'm going to see how many tears you're coming up with, and if you have enough tears, then you're repentant enough. Therefore, your repentance is acceptable. And in that way, the misapplication of the law in legalism gives us metrics to judge each other and judge ourselves. And that is something that is very dangerous. But we're so afraid of legalism sometimes that we're afraid of the law itself. And that's why we're making the first point here, that there's nothing wrong with the law. If there was something wrong with the law, that would mean that God gave us some word that was not good enough. So he made a mistake. And he actually rethought his ideas and that doesn't work. I'm going to come up with a better plan. Which is not that at all.
Exactly. Yeah, like God, the truth of the person giving that law, and the goodness of the person giving that, God giving that law in His omnibenevolence and those things that make Him who He is. We are looking at this law and we're seeing it as something that is given to us as a as a blessing, as a direction, as mm-hmm. something that helps us in our lives, not something that is something that we take. And we see it in the New Testament, especially in these different interactions between the Pharisees, and see how the law can be taken out of what God gave to Moses, and it can be used, and it can go from being those 10 commandments into all those different laws, the over 400 laws that they abide by,
yes.
and how it can turn somebody from, focusing on the God who gave the law, focusing on my worship of him, and now yes. instead I'm looking to other people to see,
yes.
wait, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not yeah. doing what they're supposed to do, and I am doing what I'm supposed yes. to do. So that means I'm more spiritual, and I am more holy yes. than they are, because holier I am abiding them. By this holiness that the standard and this comparison that we have between ourselves and yes. others as it relates to the law. And that's something that I think Jesus spoke to very clearly and very harshly to, about how we are to view the law, and how we are to not look at one another in yeah. a way that is comparing or legalistic, or, you know, well, I did these things. It's like thinking of the prayer of the Pharisee, looking yeah. down on the tax collector that is, you know,
I'm better than you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God I'm not like this person, you know, yeah. and that's not the heart behind
yeah.
what the law was meant to represent, yeah. right?
I think for me, the legalism can be simply explained by saying, okay, anything from the Word of God that I take and detach from the heart of God. Like I did this test in my class. I taught theology of grace in Bible college years ago, and I asked my students, do you think I can turn grace into legalism? And they laughed and said, no, you can't. That's the only thing that cannot be legalist. And so, well, I'm going to tell you a story and tell me what you think about it. So let's say you come to me and then you have a weakness and you fall into the same sin all the time. You come to me mm-hmm. and then you cry about it, you don't know what you do. And I go to you, you know, and I tell you, you know what your problem is? You don't give yourself grace. Hmm. I just turn grace into legalism, because now your problem is you don't take grace for yourself. So I can turn grace into legalism if I don't understand the heart of God. So in a way, being a legalist does not mean saying the word grace does not mean that you're not legalist. Hmm. It's anything that is detached from the heart of God becomes legalism.
Yeah.
In that way. And that's exactly what the misapplication of the law is, and that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit today.
Yeah, exactly.
You look like you want to say something good. I can see it on your face. Yeah. I can see it on your face.
Well, I was just thinking of like this law.
Can't you see that on his face? Like, even Sebastian can see that.
And thinking
on your face.
Of the law itself, the law of Moses that God gave, but then like the law that God writes on our hearts, which I think yes. this law of Moses is meant to help us and lead us into. Yes. And in Romans chapter 2, mm-hmm. it talks about that. In verse 14, it says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, mm-hmm. who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them." And what does that mean, that the law is written on our hearts? Like, what? How do I have the, and maybe that's what this is, this law that God gave us is meant to, it's meant to not just be things that we do naturally, things yes. that we do where, oh, I need to be cleansed, I need to be set apart, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to bring the sacrifice, but it's meant to be a decision and an action that takes place within me
yeah.
and then comes out to the actions that I take. Because I have this association and this relationship with God and his holiness, this is why I'm doing these things. Not I'm doing these things so that I can be holy on
yes.
the inside. It's
yes.
it's the inverse of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at some point, like later on, we plan of talking about what difference between what the gospel requires versus what the gospel produces. Mm-hmm. That's a huge difference. But just making another point about the reason. Okay, so what are we seeing here? Number one, we are seeing that the law is not the issue. There's nothing wrong with it. Romans, 7:12.
Yeah.
Number two, I think it comes into Matthew 5:17 when mm-hmm. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Mm-hmm. So Jesus didn't go like, "Okay, guys, we messed up in the first Old Testament. That's the old covenant. Let's do a new one." That would mean that God can make mistakes, which could mean that there would be a third covenant and we're still in trial period here for the second one, which God is saying, well, that's my second trial and error. I'm going to do a better one next time. So what does that mean? Is heaven for sure? Is the millennium for real? Is God for real? So that's not what we mean. And sometimes when we mix law and legalism, we just assume that, well, I've heard people say, I understand that. Like, okay, I'm so thankful I was not born under the law. No, if you were born under the law, you were thankful that you would have the law, because that would be the word of God.
Yeah.
So that's exactly why Israel was supposed to be a light for other nations. You have a revelation other people don't have, and everybody needs it. And that's why Paul says, in Romans 2, they was written in their hearts because they didn't have it. But the point is, there's nothing wrong with the law. Yeah. And if you look at this, we are under a different economy. We could say there is a difference. Of course there is. We have a new covenant. That's the whole point of the book of Hebrews.
Yes.
But the new covenant is not a rejection of the old covenant.
Yeah.
It is, as a principle, it's a rejection. Not a rejection. It's a change on how we apply that to our lives.
Mm.
Like we don't, because there is many laws in the Old Testament. You have social laws, you have religious laws, you have hygiene laws, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them apply to the nation that don't apply to any other nation. Will apply to us.
Yeah.
But there's many things in the Old Testament that do still apply to us.
Yeah.
There's only one God. You can make can worship another one. That applies to me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lust or take your neighbor's wife. That applies to me.
Yeah.
Don't kill, murder. That applies to me. So it's like we have to understand the law is not abolished, but it's been accomplished by Christ. And I think one way to express that very nicely would be Galatians 3:24, right? So I know here I'm just excited. I'm preaching over here.
Sorry. Go for it.
I'm gonna calm down. I'm gonna calm down. Let me read that verse and then I can breathe a little bit after that. Maybe. Galatians 3:24. therefore, the law, I'm going to start with 22. but the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Okay. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And now the concept of tutor is exactly what the role of the law was in the Old Testament. And they didn't have Christ, but there was enough hints in the Old Testament law to show us that what salvation is.
Mm.
Salvation in the Old Testament and salvation in the New Testament is the same in the eyes of God. Because Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. So the solution for Adam and Eve was already there. The solution for Abraham was already there. The solution for the people of Israel was already there. It was Christ all over. And when God gave us the law, he gave us a tutor to lead us to Christ.
Mm.
And that's what the law was given for. You know, not just as a way of behaving, but as a way of understanding how we relate to God.
Yeah, so going back to that, what you said about like people say, thank God I wasn't born under the law. Like,
yeah.
That means you don't understand what the law, the Old Testament law meant.
Yes.
Because that makes me think that that means if I'm under the law, then that means I'm going to be the one sacrificed.
Yes.
That's what was that is not what was happening. They were, the sacrificial lamb was taking the sins of the sin offering was representing taking those sins away. So that's an interesting viewpoint of how do I see the law, as compared to the fulfilling of the law that Jesus brings is a different, I like that, the different perspective or the different application of my, of that, the truth of salvation that God had and how that works as far as looking back and looking forward by faith. Looking from the past to the future, looking by faith, and we are looking from the future, looking back at the work that Christ has done and we're doing that same thing by faith or looking back by faith. And I couldn't help but think about this, the tutoring of the Word of God, the law of God being a tutor for us, and thinking how in Romans chapter 3, it talks about the law shutting every mouth.
Yeah.
And we know that in verse 19 the law says that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Mm. The law is not meant for us to boast in, for us to recognize our inability really to conform to it and therefore be drawn to God. In Isaiah 6, it talks about that, when Isaiah sees the Lord and the train of his robe fill the temple and he sees the holiness of the God that he is worshiping, he can't help but see how undone he he is,
yes,
how unclean his lips are and the lips of the people he is with are. And then it says in that, maybe I'll just go there. It says there about the thing that God does to help him in his uncleanness, because he doesn't make himself clean, which is, you know, the idea behind the law is that, oh, I need to do this and I need to do that, and then I will be clean, you know, from a practical standpoint and from the Levitical law standpoint. But it says the angel brings a coal and puts it on the mouth, verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And I think this is like what is happening when we recognize the truth of the law and the application of the grace of God, and the different perspective that we're talking about as it relates to the work of grace in our lives is that I am undone, and the law exposes how unclean I am, how I am undone, how I need to be cleansed, and it brings me to the place where that needs to happen, and that's where God cleanses me of my iniquity, and he purges me of my sins, and that's the work that is done, not on an outward, not from me changing my way of doing things, not from me you know, adjusting my habits or making these external changes to my life to make me look presentable before God, but to recognize I will never be presentable before him, and I need to have my sins purged and my iniquities taken care of by him, by that coal that's put on our mouths or put on in our lives to, you know, purge us of those iniquities and those sins. And that's what the law is meant to do, to bring us to him, and not to have us boast in anything except that we know him.
Yes.
And that he is the one who has made the sacrifice, and I have done nothing and he has done everything. And that's, you know, the legalistic side of things is that the misapplication is that I am checking these boxes so I can show everybody else how great I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, and theoretically, I'm also showing God how great I am, which really he doesn't care about me checking these boxes. He cares about my heart being close to him and being, you know, seeing him and trusting him with those things. So, like, what about the other, and we talked a lot about legalism, but what about the other side? Do we want to go there?
Yes, we want to. Can I say something before that?
Sure.
Because I'm thinking, I don't know if you know, like, if maybe guys, not every well versed in the military, but there's a strategy in the military that we call shock and awe.
Okay.
And shock and awe is a system that military will use to overwhelm the enemies. So instead of sending two or three rockets and something, you're going to go with everything you got. And then you could just go and, you know, just pound everything you had in your planes on one area. And usually unannounced and scheduled in place. So the goal is to shock and awe. Like, and the shock is you're going to awe. You don't know how to respond to this overwhelming idea.
Yeah.
And for me, that's how I think about the law in one way. That's what you read earlier about, you know, Romans 3, 19. You know, under the law that every mouth would be stopped. So the misapplication of the law is like my mouth is not stopped because I still find enough energy to be a Pharisee.
Yes, yes, yes.
How did that happen? But the shock and awe is this is what I mean. So, in my class of Theology of Grace, I asked the students, so why did God give the sacrifice with the law? That was a question, and I think sometimes this is what I mean by shock and awe. I think for me, the law is shock, and the sacrifice is awe. In the sense of I'm shocked by how sinful I am, but I'm in awe of how graceful God is, because every time I mess up with the law, there is a sacrifice to come up with that I don't have to pay for.
Yeah.
And this is what I mean by the grace of God being so present in the Old Testament. That is why there's nothing wrong with it, because the grace of God is so vivid in the Old Testament that the shock and awe is God is sending the law, that's the shock, and then sending the sacrifice, that's the awe. You're looking at this, oh my God, I'm messing up every single day, but I don't have to pay for this. Somebody else will pay for this. Like, if I offer a small sacrifice, God will forgive my sins. But for me to live this way, I have to live by faith and believe that the word of God is true, believe that the law is true. If God says, no, you won't pay, you won't die if you offer this sacrifice. And that's the shock and awe that's the tutor. And what do we have, these two options in the law? What do we have? The truth of God's righteousness and our incapacity to come up with any solution for this. And that's why Christ has come as a solution. So when you look at the sacrifices in the Old Testament, that's another great study. Every one of them points to the perfection of the sacrifice of Christ at the cross. Yes. You know, like if you offer a lamb, he had to be without blemish.
You know?
So perfections. So the point, guys, is sending all these things. Guys, this is what these are my standard. And when the Pharisees try to come up with a misapplication of the law by being legalist, Christ told them, "There's two things you guys are doing wrong. Number one, you're reducing the law of God, which is a requirement, to your traditions." Because they're easier to come to, you know, so this is the law of God. I'm going to go over here with my tradition. So that's one of its problems. The other one is, you think when I said don't cheat on your wife with your neighbor's wife, that was it. I'm telling you, adultery, if you look another wife.
And then
Jesus is like putting the standards back where they belong.
Yeah.
So even legalism is not a solution. Legalism doesn't work because I was able to leave happily in my legalism because I brought the law of God to my level. And that's exactly another misapplication of the law, which is what I think what you wanted to say also. I can use the word of God as, okay, grace is there, therefore I don't have to be serious about God's word.
Yeah, that's like such an interesting point, like bringing the standard lower.
Yes.
Is like in legalism, it's lower. It's also lower. Like the holiness of God is you know, the perfection, there's no sin, there's no deformity, it is just 100% sacred and holy and pure.
Yes.
And even no matter what I'm doing, no matter how well I'm following in those commandments, I will always have, I'll never be purely white, there'll always be that little dinginess to my humanity that makes it so that I am not holy as God is holy, and I still will be requiring, no matter what I'm doing, no matter how well I am, no matter what I'm doing to check on other people or whatever, compare myself with others. But yeah, that's an interesting idea, like lowering the standard so I can meet it, or lowering the standard because
it doesn't matter. Yeah,
like that's the other end of the spectrum, right?
Yes.
Okay, the law was given to the Jews thousands of years ago. Why should I even worry about anything that the law says? It doesn't apply to me. I am not a Jewish person.
I am not.
There's grace for me. So why do I even have to acknowledge these laws?
Yes.
Or what can I learn from them or apply to them? Like I don't have any goats or lambs or pigeons or doves or anything to bring to, like, that's not applicable for me in my life right now. So how do I take those things that, you know, the Levitical laws or the things that God has said in the Old Testament law, and how do I, you know, apply them along with the grace that I've received from God, and how do I understand those things as they interact? We already talked about it a lot as it relates to legalism, but how does me, you know, devaluing the law diminish my view of the grace that God's given me?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because when you think about it in both ways, okay, so if we take the concept of shock and awe, God wants us to shut our mouth before him. Okay, like I'm in shock of my sin, I'm in awe of my redemption.
Yes.
That's the idea. So that should be the end. So every time Christ is making a point on how we should live, he's always about worship, thankfulness, gratefulness. And when he's in Simon's house and Mary comes and wipes Jesus' feet, and Simon is all messed up because he's a Pharisee and then she's a woman of sin. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, you know, he asks the question after the story, who we love the most, the one who's been forgiven more or the one who's forgiven less? So now you see the forgiveness brings love. So love becomes a motivation to live in purity, not the law, not legalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our way of coping this with this idea is that I think, and Pastor Charlie did a series, I want to say 7 or 8 years ago in our church, about legalism versus grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one point that I remember that stays with me all the time is that legalism or a lack of legalism or lack of law will put me at the center and grace put God at the center. And that's those two misapplications we're talking about. Our ways for us to be back into the game. I want to be in the game. Like if I'm a Pharisee, I want to be in the game. If I'm not a Pharisee, I want to claim the grace of God in such a way that I'm freer than all of you.
Mm.
You know, and I think in some of the ways, those misapplications of the law, like the rejection or the wrong application of it, are both ways to put me back in the game. It's so interesting when you think about this because, okay, it's they're both ways. in both ways, they're both attacking the character of God. Because it's interesting, if you ask a Pharisee, if you meet like a, I don't know, I'm the Pharisee, you know, you're the guy who understands the grace of God, you know, like you're Jesus, I'm the Pharisee, what would happen? I would think the problem I have with you is that your concept of righteousness is not as holy as mine. Mm. And you can turn back to me and say it's the opposite. The reason why it's the opposite is because I, as a Christian, know I can't come up with to the standards of God, but you can. So if you as a man, even though you're a Pharisee, you think you have a higher understanding of righteousness, but you don't, because in your model, you can be holy.
Yeah.
In my model, I can't. Right? So who has a higher concept of righteousness? The legalistic guy or the guy who understands the grace of God?
Yeah.
The latter one.
Yeah.
And the other, when you flip the other side, who has the greater concept of grace? The one who sees that grace is for what it is, which is the answer to my sin, or grace is an excuse for me to do whatever I want?
Yeah.
Well, the one who understands that grace is unmerited favor, mm-hmm. not the guy who thinks grace is something I can use all the time. Just like, you know, I have candies in my pocket. I can use grace. I want to, you know, and that's the idea. So every time we take everything outside of the heart of God, we misapply it and we end up with reducing the meaning of what it is. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important for us to understand the word of God, you know.
Yeah. So going along with that same thing that you were saying, like, I am putting myself at the center,
yes,
and not God at the center. If I am, you know, receiving God's grace, and I still am, I do what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
and I don't, you know, whatever God has said, there's grace for me to live my life the way that I want to live my life, and the impact that has on my, my walk with God, my relationship with Him, and just the other aspects of my life, am I really acknowledging or really valuing the holiness of who God is? If I am not, if I'm devaluing the law that He upholds and He gave,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I'm not the person who gives the law is the one who I'm looking for and the one I'm trying to draw myself closer to, and me ignoring that law is not bringing me closer to the person who gave that law,
mm-hmm.
right? If I like have my kids and I tell them not to do something and they ignore me because they don't want to, right? They're not getting closer to me mm-hmm. in that way. They are ignoring me and not knowing what I have, what I'm saying, or not experiencing the fullness that I want to give to them as far as teaching them or tutoring them or helping them mm-hmm. along. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, when we do that with our in our lives where I use grace as a license to do what I want, I'm not getting closer to God. And I'm actually understanding the grace of God less and less because I'm not, my behaviors and my decisions in my life, they aren't impacting my eternal destiny, you know, as long as but do I actually understand God's grace if it doesn't change the way that I live my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I see the law and I don't want to abide by the law. So thank you, Lord, for giving me grace so I don't have to abide by the law. But I am taking that grace and saying thank you. And like you said, like candy, I'm just using it as a charge card or whatever
yes.
to pay off my debts that I have.
Get out of jail card.
And continually I'm just using it and using it and using it. And in that same way, like devaluing it in a way because it's not making a change, right? Grace is a result, you know, when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And like it's a believing, professing with my mouth and believing with my heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I am a child of God. It's like an internal impact that it's having in my life, not just the external, but like the internal to the inside to the outside, having that change in my life. Like how much further am I moving from the lawgiver when I'm devaluing the law that He's giving me?
Yeah.
You know, and not that it's legalistic, because there can be you could say the answer to that is just keeping the law.
Yeah.
You know, which in some ways is an answer, but not for the sake of just keeping the law, but so
yeah.
that it can be closer to the one who gave that law. And that's like an interesting thought to think. Like in both cases, I'm at the center. The humanity is at the center of its own
yeah.
universe, and I either feel good about myself or I say it's not even worth me trying.
Yeah.
So I'll just accept God's grace and continue doing what I'm doing and in some ways miss the beauty of the, you know, Psalm 119 just talks about the law of the Lord and the commandments of God and how great those things are for us. So, yeah.
I like Psalm 119 in the sense that I think it's interesting because, you know, we go back to the idea of people say, well, I'm so glad I was not born under the law. I think, and every time I say, no, I think you would be glad. You'd be happy because look at all these things that we find in the Old Testament, and Psalm 119 is one of them. Whoever wrote it, he's actually praising the idea of the law and the word of God, right? We have a technical issue there. Okay? We have intervention there. We need to pause for 17 minutes. No, let's not pause for 17 minutes. Like, Sebastian doesn't think it's funny. I think it's funny, Sebastian. I don't think it is.
No, that's the thing.
Well, they kind of noticed because he was playing it, you know. So let's go to the commercial. But we don't have a commercial. So what the point? So, as you know, we have sound effects. It's really fun. So, okay, what are we saying here? Okay, so we're saying that Psalm 119, we have a praise of the law, like it was possible, and that's one mind blowing. When we have a misunderstanding of the law in the Old Testament, that's why we get licentious and we take the grace of God as a license to sin because we don't want the law. It's because we don't understand how beautiful the law is. The whole Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, is the praising of the law in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So And just to convince everybody, I think it's Psalm 51. I would like to turn there. Everybody knows Psalm 51. It's the well-known chapter that David wrote after, his story with Bathsheba. This is what the interest is. To the chief musician, the son of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So what's interesting in there is that David, who is in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. in that dreadful period for some people, all the legalism, you know, he's actually a champion of grace. And it's interesting when you break down, I think, what David is saying in Psalm 51, he's saying a few things that would be outrageous to any legalist, you know, in that way. This is what he says. Okay, so verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions. Yeah, you better. Okay, you messed up. And my sins is always before me. Of course, yeah. You know, yeah. Like, it's a big deal. You know, a murder, a child is dead, you took somebody else's wife, no wonder you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Against you and you only haven't sinned. Well, I have a problem with that. No, you didn't sin just against God. You sinned against Bathsheba, against the child. You sinned against,
Uriah.
And done evil in your sight. Thou, you may be found just when you speak and blameless just when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in my sin, my mother's conceived me. Well, that's a cop out. Mm-hmm. Are you blaming your parents for your situation? You know, and he's not doing any of that. He's not saying, I don't care about the consequences. He's not saying it's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. He's stating the fact. Mm-hmm. And I think the first way, you know how they say in AA meetings, the first step towards recovery is the meeting you have a problem. And I think it's the same with us. The first step to us not misapplying the law is realizing we have nothing to do with it. But it's amazing. So what did he say? Well, I have sinned against God. Yes, we have sinned against God first. I have to ask for forgiveness if I hurt someone, but I have sinned against God first. When I break the law, when I break the word of God, when I sin, I do this against God first. So he goes to God in the Old Testament. And he's not trying to find an excuse. It's just, well, this is a state of affairs. Mm-hmm. I'm a mess. Everybody is a mess. I mean, I'm not making an excuse, but because we know he's not making an excuse because of what he says after that. Verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire in the inward parts, in the hidden parts, you will make me know wisdom. And that's what's amazing here, because he's going to, here's a step in his confession. He goes to God, yes, I have sinned against you. He goes to God and say, well, yes, the reason I have sinned is because I have a fallen nature, and I fall into that. Now, you don't want this. This is what you want. You want truth in the inward part. But he's going to God and say, you want truth in the inward part, you put it there. And I think that's a great understanding of the grace of God, because that's what he says, right? So, and then the next verse has the same idea. Look at this. So, you did out truth in the inward part, then you will make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, so you purge me with hyssop, I will be clean. You wash me, and I should be whiter than snow. You make me hear joy and gladness, and the bones that you have broken may rejoice. You hide your face from my sins and brought out all my iniquities. Like, he's actually not putting God on the spot, but he's telling God, you have to do this. And I think this is a great, good application of the law. Remember, mm-hmm. David is under the Old Testament. He's supposed to offer sacrifices. Mm-hmm. He does that. I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. But also, he's going to God about things. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, he teaches us about the meaning of grace in the proper sense. This is, mm-hmm. for me, the epitome of not misapplying the grace of God and not misapplying the law of God. Mm-hmm. Because he's in the midst of the grace period, the law period under the Mosaic law, mm-hmm. and he's talking to God like he would be in a grace period, because he was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. All these things are before my face. I have, yes. My transgressions, all the things that I've done wrong, and I'm bringing them to you, and I'm asking you to do what you said you would do.
Yes.
And what you have already done.
Yes.
Right? And that's like the framework and the viewpoint that is desired. That is, like you said, the optimum view of the law, is that I am unable to keep the law, but Christ has fulfilled it. And I am, therefore my behavior, as a human being, right? I am no longer guilty. I am no longer ashamed. I am no longer afraid. I am now, rightly oriented towards God, in that I have been made clean, and I am longing for that fellowship and that relationship with him that is fostered and developed and recognized as I draw closer to him and acknowledge and value his work of grace all the more, so that now, instead of having to do the law, instead of having to abide by these things in order for me to be holy, I am holy,
yeah.
And because I am holy, I abide by these things. We are doing it as a result of, or as a benefit of, not as a requirement to,
yes.
The justice and mercy, God's justice was taken care of in Christ, and we are able to see his mercy. And that's the shock and all that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. It's really shocking that this is required, that you require sacrifice, that you require these things in order for there to be holiness.
Yes.
But the awe of the mercy that you are willing to do that for us and take it on for us, so that we can be closer to you and draw closer to you. And I couldn't help but, thinking of, like, as you said, the things being David bringing those transgressions up to, in this Psalm 51, all these things in front of me, the things that I've, the mistakes that I've committed, and like the heart, starts from this. Maybe the reason why people misapply the law is because we misunderstand ourselves as human beings.
Yes.
Like, I think from a humanistic perspective, materialistic perspective, there's the idea that, man is by nature good.
Yes.
And I am a good person. I am, if society didn't make me this way, or my upbringing didn't make me this way, or my situation and my circumstances didn't make me this way, I would actually be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
But because of all these things, I am bad. So that's why I am bad. But really, Jeremiah 17:9, the whole head is, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who mm-hmm. can know it? Isaiah 1, the whole head is sick, heart and the heart faint. Like, that's, I think, one reason why we misapply the law, is because mm-hmm. maybe we have some of these humanistic ideas that
yes.
go along with us as people. We say, well, I'm actually not that bad.
Yeah.
I'm actually okay,
know,
and it's just because of this or this or this or this. And I go and talk to somebody and say, they bring everything up about my upbringing, or
yes.
the hardships that I've had in my life. And I'm not discrediting those things at all, but I have to start at the point where I recognize fundamentally who I am as a human being, and that is, I am a sinner and I am sinful, and that the law was made so that that would be exposed, I think, so that that would be real in my view of myself,
mm-hmm.
so that I can mm-hmm. be brought closer to the one who yeah. can actually make me good mm-hmm. in the fullest extent of that, or make me clean in the fullest extent of that, which is God alone can do that. So, like, I think our misapplications of the law are are because of our, the legalism maybe that we are used to or we've seen, or I think it is related to this idea that we kind of think higher of ourselves than mm-hmm. we should.
Yes.
And in a sense, we think lower of God than we should, yes. too. We bring him closer to us and we bring ourselves up to him mm-hmm. so that we don't feel as bad about ourselves,
yes.
but we actually don't really understand him and his fullness. Going back to Isaiah 6, where I said, when I recognize who he is really and the yeah. holiness of him, I can't help but put myself at the right place, which is, bowing down on the yeah. ground before him and worshiping him, because that's all that I can do. And in the law, in these different things, that is a major part of it is recognizing the sacredness and the holiness. Like the high priest could not go into the Holy of Holies without being in the right, wearing the right things, doing the right things because of how, awe-inspiring, the shock and awe of the holiness of God, mm-hmm. and we know of the Day of Atonement, and if they're not in the right, if they don't go with the right heart or the right meeting the right criteria, the impact that that has, and maybe we could say, oh, that's so harsh. Why is God being yeah. so harsh in that sense, as if we look at that specific part of the law? But like the glory and the holiness and the perfection of God is what we are being drawn towards and what we are longing for. And his grace is the only way that we can really know that and experience that and really experience ourselves in the right light, because we are made in his image and are, when we see him, we will be like him in the fullest extent. We'll know ourselves fully when we see him. So this is like, he's drawing us to himself. In some ways, we're pushing back yes. on that by either wanting to keep the checklist and do what he asks us to do, or, this doesn't matter, I'm just going to do my own thing. In either sense, I am pushing back on who God is and what he wants for me.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to summarize the conversation and how we misapply the law, right? Is that, again, we put ourselves at the center. God is at the outset somewhere, and then he's in the outer circle of our lives. And we keep the distance in both ways. Keeping the distance because we take the law and we say, okay, stand back. I'll get this. I'm doing this. That's the Pharisee. That's the legalist. On the other hand, you can stay back here because, I don't want the standard. That's the other way. I can do this with myself in both ways. First, I can accomplish the law, or I can abolish the law. And that's the both ways to use the term that Jesus used.
Yeah.
Accomplishing the law, I think, for me, it would be legalistic. That's what I want to do. Abolishing the law would be to be the other misapplication, that I don't have to do this because Christ did it for me. Therefore, I live in grace, and I take the grace as a license to sin. And that's exactly – because that's the point that Paul is making in Romans 5:20, where sin abound and grace much more abound. But he has to say at Romans 6:1 right after, should I take the grace as a license to sin? No, God forbid, because yes. that's so we're in between. And I think what you were saying in Psalm 51, these are the proper reactions to our situations. I go to God. I don't go to the law. I don't go to anything. I go to God. And I make my relationship correct with God based on the blood of Christ and based on the sacrifice of Christ, not on my on anything that I deserve, right?
Amen.
So,
all right, great. Well, thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Holy Spotify, stuff. And maybe some other places. Be sure to join us for our next show as we continue to talk about the law of Moses.